Well, since we're going to focus on Israel, I thought we should only start with the shofar then. And today it is Shabbat, and in the synagogue you would hear many songs in regards to the things of Israel, you know, and the one that they talk about and yet don't really know is the one that they call Lord, God, Savior, and King. And so I thought, since we're going to focus on Israel and creation, it's only fitting that I blow the ram's horn. Now, I'm not going to blow it in the sound system. That way the guys back there don't have to lose their hearing. And then it probably won't even make a sound anyways. But so as we begin this conference again, it's very exciting for me. I've been here since 2007. And so as I look back and the times that we've been able to look through the scriptures, what a blessing it's been, and what a blessing it is to be here this morning in the house of God, studying about creation and about Israel, and that we're studying about the God who made all things. But I wanted to just turn to the scriptures, and as George read those verses, I want to just begin with one reference in Luke chapter 24, and then we're going to go right back to the reference that George read for us in Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 12:3. As I think about the Savior, the Lord, the God, the King, this is what he had to say in Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, that's beginning with Genesis, and in the prophets, recording Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the book of 12, in the Jewish Bible, and I have a Jewish Bible in the back. You can actually go check it out. It's set up that way. Five books of Moses, the three major prophets, the book of 12, and then the writings, like Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, 2 Chronicles, Daniel, Ruth. He says, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, and Psalms being the largest book, and so it's actually known in the Hebrew as Kehillim, the writings. And that's what the Psalms are about, the writings. And so it encompasses all the writings concerning me. And then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, the law, the prophets, and the writings. And that's what the New Testament is based on. And so you're hearing today where people say, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. That's something in the past. Where Romans 15:4 says that these things were written for our account. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 and 11, written for our account, that we wouldn't turn our heart towards that which is lustful, evil. And so the law, the prophets, and the writings. And so this morning I want to take us right back to Genesis, in the very first book of the law, that as we look at the gospel found in creation. And a lot of times people don't look at it this way because we've been disconnected from the Hebrew for a long time. And I just want to emphasize the Hebrew. I want to emphasize the Greek. I mean, the connections between Greek and Hebrew are so powerful. And John Feeks has done a lot of study in Greek. And even the other night at our Bible study, he pulled out a number of words, you know, from the Greek. And it just ties everything together. Well, that's the same in the Hebrew, as Jesus would have taught the very things as he would have went to the synagogue. And some people say that they spoke Aramaic, and that may have been true. But when it came to the synagogue, the only thing that they would have done was read the Hebrew. It's the same today. Today you go to the synagogue, they're talking English, but when they read the Bible, it's in Hebrew. Nothing's changed. And so I want to show you the gospel in the very first sentence. And you don't think of the gospel being the very first sentence when it says, in the beginning, as George reminded us this morning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is the gospel. Because the word in the beginning is the Hebrew word bar rashit. The Greek word is genesia, giving us the English word Genesis. And so the very word Genesis, whenever you hear the word Genesis, wherever you hear the word Bereshit, whenever you hear in the beginning, that word is Bereshit. Bereshit is one word made up of three. Does that sound familiar? One being three. The triunity of God right in the very first part of the sentence. You know, it says, from the beginning, I've not spoken in secret. And we'll look at that one. You know, but the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is Echad. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Three in one. And in this very first word, we have the word Bereshit. Bar is split up and now into three words. Bar is son, Ish is man, and Te is the mark. You can't make this stuff up. In the very first word, the gospel is about the son, a man, and the cross. And if you didn't get that, in the next word, the Hebrew word is bara. Again, the word son. The next word is created. And then you have the next word, which is God, Elohim. So you have it's about a son, a man, a cross, created, who is God, the first and the last, which is not in there. It's the Hebrew word Aleph and Tav. And he creates the Shamayim. Like, you ever wonder what heaven's like? It is, Mayim, water. He separated the waters from the waters. He called the waters above of the foundations heaven, and the waters below, he called them earth, created the heavens and the earth. And so here we have in the very first word, the gospel. It's about a son, a man, and a cross. And he's the one who creates the heavens and the earth. We could spend a lot of time just in that part alone. And one of my favorite teachers that I had was Dr. John Whitcomb. And a number of people have studied under him. But he was a man that would take the scriptures and just show you as he take Genesis 1:1, and he would now take it throughout the rest of all scripture. He came from one of the brethren assemblies that I attend. You know, that he just searched the scriptures, and Genesis 1:1, everything hinges on that reference. You know, I remember my dad, he wasn't saved yet, but he was put on the spot at the Silver Bay Bible Camp. And the director had said, you know, Gomer, I remember when you were a kid and you came to this camp. And I didn't know my dad had gone to Bible camp. He had never said anything. And he put my dad on the spot. And he says, Gomer, what would be one reference that would stand out in your mind? And I kind of turned to look at my dad and I thought, okay, what's he going to say? And he says, Genesis 1:1. And I thought, what is my dad going to say about Genesis 1:1? And he says, I guess if you don't believe that, I guess nothing would be true. And it was the most profound statement I think I'd ever heard, you know, anybody say. And that came out of my dad's mouth. And it wouldn't be long, my dad came to know the Lord. Genesis 1:1. It's the most profound. If you don't believe this, nothing else matters. Might as well just close up the book. See, and that's why they're trying to throw out the Bible. They're trying to argue with the scriptures, because if we can get rid of that, there's no Christianity, because there is no son, man, and a cross. Makes no difference. Everything hinges on Genesis 1:1. Then I wanted to turn to Genesis chapter 5, that as we go through the law, the prophets, and the writings. And here he says in Genesis chapter 5, and beginning with verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female, they were made he him. In all our sons' command. We are, you know, and they've changed that part of the song of our national anthem. That both male and female are sons. Sons of God. Made he him. Male, female. And created he them, blessed them, and called their name Adam. Both their names were Adam. But as he's doing the separation, Adam calls her woman, and he's now referred to as Adam, man. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. See that word begat? Begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten, so remember begotten, beget and begotten, Seth were 800 years and he begat. Now, so we got begat, begotten, and beget, sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos, begat. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 900 and begat Canaan. And you're starting to think, where is this going? Like, what? I'm not begetting anything here. This is usually when people start doing this. And they start flipping pages because they want to beget something. But it's in these 10 names that, as we read in Genesis chapter 5, is the gospel. The gospel that was in the garden that God created as he created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day, as he created man, he now puts man in a garden. From the very beginning, so as we have a son, a man, and a cross, in the garden is now the gospel. Because in these 10 names, it is very clear that Adam's name is Red Man. Seth's name means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel is blessed God. Jared, come down. Jared, you can stay there. Enoch, teaching. Methuselah, his death will bring it. And Lamech is despairing. And Noah is comfort. That's what's to beget. Is that when we put this message together, the red man appointed mortal unto sorrow, but the blessed God comes down teaching, his death will bring it to the despairing comfort. In 10 names, we have the gospel in the garden. As it began in the garden and spread over almost 1656 years to the days of Lamech and Methuselah, that in the year of the flood, the gospel has already been there. It was there at creation. It's there in the garden. And it's over 1,656 years that God lays out the gospel. When the red man who is appointed mortal unto sorrow, that's because of sin. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and now the sorrow that would begin. In fact, they're told that she's going to have sorrow in childbirth, and the man would have sorrow in planting of his crops and in the receiving of it. And it has, nothing's changed. From the birth and to the reaping, the sorrow continues right from the beginning as they were in the garden. And at 1656, great sorrow came upon the whole earth as the flood would come. But the gospel continues to go forward. Because now God would choose a man. In Genesis chapter 12, as George read that second reference, it makes a reference now from creation. The God who's created all these things has instilled a gospel. And that, people who say, oh, we don't need to know about Genesis, or we don't need to know about creation, or we don't need to know, between evolution and creation, is that they haven't read the Bible. They haven't listened to what God has said and how important this message is. Because he says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, as he's speaking to Abraham and telling him to get out of this land and go to a place that he was going to show him and he was going to bless his name, he gives him the gospel message in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That as the earth was created, there is a blessing. So right from the beginning, God had given the gospel. But what is the blessing? It's the gospel. The good news that there's a son and a man and a cross. And then how it's all played out, whether it's through the feasts, through the nation Israel, through the land provinces, as he's talking about a lamb being pierced. It's the gospel in creation laid out from the beginning. And this gospel, this message here, in these shall all the families of the earth be blessed, is the gospel statement. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Here God speaking to Abraham once more. And it's in the plains of Mamre, which in the modern day is Hebron. And that's where Adam and Eve are buried. That's where Abraham and Sarah are buried. Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and... anybody? Rachel. Very good, Matthew. Good job. You get a special treat at the table there. I'm serious. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, if you're asking the question, wait a minute, how is it that every man, woman, child, Jew, Gentile, old, young, male, female, how is it that everyone could be blessed? Well, let's go to the next part of the statement. But you find in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. And he says, and in thy seed, singular, in thy seed, singular, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice, Abraham. Because you've obeyed, in thy seed, singular, shall all the nations be blessed. The gospel from creation in the garden played out in the ten names, and now here we have the descendant, you know, down through Shem, Abraham. And he's been received. This is the second time he receives, or the third time he receives the gospel message. It now passes on to his descendant, onto Isaac. Genesis chapter 26, as God is telling Isaac, stay in this land. It's in the middle of a famine. And the gospel is going to come in the middle of a famine. He says that in verse 1 says, and there was a famine in the land. Verse 4, and I will make thy seed, singular, to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed, singular, all these countries, and in thy seed, singular, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. In thy seed. In the middle of the famine, here is the gospel. And I love what it says in verse 12. It says in Genesis 26:12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The only other time that you read about a hundredfold is when Jesus comes preaching the gospel. And he says, and some will reap a hundredfold and 60 and 30. It's the only place where you find the hundredfold. It was in the middle of a famine in the land of Israel where the gospel is going to go through and it's going to become a promise. As Abraham's in there, they're going to have to leave. They're going to go to the Exodus, and from the Exodus, they're going to come back into the land. And then they're going to leave. They were even told in Deuteronomy chapter 4 that before you even enter the land, you're going to leave. See, because God knows all things. And that's hard for us to understand, you know, because we know some things. But even in that, we only know very little of the some things that we know. But then it continues on one more time to Genesis chapter 28 as we look at now Jacob, the son of Isaac. And he now is going to receive the gospel. In fact, I'd like to take you back to verse 11 and read to verse 15. And it says, as he's traveling, he's tired, and he lightened upon a certain place, tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. I remember I was in Israel. I had my sleeping bag, but I hadn't taken a pillow, and my neck was bothering me, and I found a stone. And I didn't dream. I had nightmares, you know, and my neck was sore the next morning. So anyways, he's laying on a stone and he dreams, and behold, a ladder set up in the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord. If you ever hear that word, when you're reading the Old Testament and you see the word I am the Lord, I mean, you go to the book of Ezekiel 70 times. You can go to Ezekiel or Exodus. You can go to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You can go throughout the scriptures. 36 out of the 39 books talks about the I am. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, 28, before Abraham was, I am. He was before Abraham. And so here he says, I am the Lord, as he's speaking to Jacob, the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, to thee, give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed singular, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee till I have done that which I have spoken of to thee. And so the gospel in the land of Israel, because if you read about Gerara is in the land of Israel today. And so the gospel has come to the land of Israel. See, the gospel was in the Garden of Eden, Jerusalem. People say, how do you know it's Jerusalem? Because it says about Satan. He said, God kicked Satan off in Ezekiel 28. I kicked you off my holy mountain because of thy profanity and thy violence. And that he had corrupted his wisdom. He kicked him off his holy mountain, God's holy mountain, in the place that I put my name, Shaddai. In the place that I put my name, you will come worship me three times a year, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths. And he put his name down on Mount Moriah, Jerusalem. That's where you're going to come worship me, on my holy mountain. I kick you off, Satan. Where did Satan go? He stayed right near Jerusalem. And he went to he had a hill called the Wicked Counselor. The hill of the Wicked Counselor. Today, the United Nations sits on there. A lot of wickedness going on that mountain. See, nothing's changed. Satan says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, he said, I will set my congregation up on the sides of the north. Well, where's the sides of the north? Well, it's Jerusalem. He says in Psalms 48, verse 2, how beautiful in elevation is the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And that's why the Lord Jesus himself said in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, don't swear by heaven, for that's, you know, God's throne. Don't swear by earth, that's his footstool. Don't swear by Jerusalem, for that's the city of the great king. And that's where Satan has. And this has been the battle, the gospel, the fight for Jerusalem, the Garden of Eden. Because Satan set his eyes on that place. But God says to Jacob, in the land of, and Isaac, in the land that you're in, I'm going to bless, because I'm going to give you the gospel. The gospel that was given from creation as he made the heavens and the earth is that all the world could be blessed. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. It's the Ten Commandments. And it is here that the Ten Commandments shows us the gospel. He says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Is that he's telling them that he's created the heavens and the earth, and he puts this right in the Ten Commandments, that he's the creator. The one who created the heavens and the earth and gave the gospel, he's acknowledging that as the Ten Commandments come, I'm the one that's giving this gospel. Just two more references, or three. Have many more, but Isaiah chapter 52, verse 6, as we bring in the prophets. How beautiful upon the mountains. Who's beautiful? Back to verse 6. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that speak. Behold, it is I. I am. It's the Lord Jesus. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him, the Lord Jesus, that bringeth good tidings, the Habasara, the Evangelios in the Greek, the gospel in the English. that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings, the gospel of good, that publishes salvation, Yeshua, Jesus, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Look at verse 10. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation, the Jesus, the Yeshua of our God. The one about the Son, the man, the cross, when he bears his holy arm in the sight of all the nations. Here comes the blessing, for this is the gospel. Turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. As the shepherds are coming in the land of Israel, the Levite shepherds, the priestly shepherds, these are not just common shepherds. The Levite shepherds, in verse 10, says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. I could have put the word gospel, it's evangelios in the Greek, of great joy. The gospel of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's what he promised to Abraham. In these shall all the families of the earth be blessed. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The gospel. And look at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which so was named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus, Yeshua, salvation. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. And here we have the Apostle Peter standing up, and he says, verse 25 of Acts 3, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, send him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. This is the gospel from the beginning, a son, a man, a cross, the blessing, taking away your sin. And he's going to make a place and prepare a place for you. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And then last, I just want to close with Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 8. And it says here, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Notice he calls it the gospel. Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, with the Son, the man, the cross. Getting rid of your sins, as he stretches out his arms into the sight of all the nations. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is the gospel. The gospel that was given in creation, the gospel in the garden, the gospel in the land of Israel has now spread to the whole world. Whosoever will may come. May the Lord bless you, Israel.